6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who was talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God.
So we had prayers, how we talk to God or listen to God. And then presence, showing up, being there for God's people, right? Gifts, what we offer, our time and our talents, our treasures. Service, acts of compassion and justice, how we love on God's people, on people God loves. And lastly, we get to witness. Added to our vows in the 2008 General Conference, the United Methodist Church decided that it was something that we should add to the five vows we make. The hope was that old members and new members alike would recognize their responsibility to not only show up, but to show forth God's saving love in all that we do. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we come before you this day to find you in the Word, to feel the Spirit in this place, and to be transformed, even just a little. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer, we pray. Amen. So we went to the book of Mark today, and we took a little turn from what we've been doing the last couple of weeks of reading scriptures. We turned away from the miracles and the healing and the ways that the people have been active, right, in the Gospels, and we're looking at Jesus himself this week. This Sunday is called Transfiguration Sunday. It's a time in between ordinary time and Easter that we pause and we think about who Jesus is and why it matters. And then, what we're going to do with it. So it's our fifth Sunday of our membership vows, and it's our Witness Sunday, and it's Transfiguration Sunday. Coincidence? Probably not. The scripture that Brian shared with us is that when Jesus was transfigured, he was up on top of a mountain, a place where Jesus liked to retreat to for prayer and for contemplation, a quiet space. Maybe you have one of those, right? But up on that mountain is where Jesus, he took a couple friends with him. Some people believe that mountains are places where epic disclosures take place. Others believe that the mountain is the meeting place between heaven and earth, because you can almost touch it. But this meeting that happened, that we hear about in the book of Mark, was epic. Jesus was dazzled, and three disciples were with him, and Elijah and Moses showed up, and the real feature, though, of the story is the voice that was present, that spoke, and that claimed the preciousness of Jesus. God said, "This is my son who I love. Listen to him." Such a claim followed by such a command. We don't often hear God saying, "Do this," in such a very assertive way, but we do this time. First, claiming that Jesus is the Son of God, and then recognizing the relationship built with love, and third, saying, "Now listen to him. I have sent him."
And then Jesus, as to not cause or feed the frenzy that was demanded by the Pharisees, he tells his disciples, those three that were with him, he says, don't speak of this until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Don't talk about it until it's time. Yeah, just take it in. That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? You see something really amazing and you just want to woo, right? But Jesus said, just wait. There will be a time, but this isn't it. Today we're sitting around our tables in this space that we have asked God to bless, a place where we worship, where we sing praises, where we let our alleluias come out, right? And we're talking about this story. Talk about a lot of stories here, a lot of scripture stories we talk about in this place. This is usually where we do it, right? We find an occasion and a scripture and we talk about it and we figure it out together. This is the place where we highlight the scriptures and they remind us of the holy. This is where we learn about opportunities that Jesus might call us to. This is where we learn about Jesus. We read scriptures as an act of devotion, as a challenge to our own hearts, or as an opportunity to confirm our faith. We do that here. But what do we do out there? What do you or I say or do when we go out there into the world that reminds us of what we did here in this place? Are you one who likes to share your faith? Live it out loud, as they say, right? Yeah. Do you take your understandings of the Holy One and share them over coffee or space or lawnmowers? I don't know. If you haven't learned this about me yet, I want to share something about myself. I'm a bit of a talker. Oh, not surprised. Okay. I have always been this way. I was made this way. I started this way. I love to talk. I remember one time I was sitting on a stool in my grandma's kitchen, and I was talking and talking and talking. I was deep into a monologue, and I turned and looked at my aunt who was sitting next to me, and I paused, and I said, should I stop? And she said, why? I said, well, I recently learned that not everybody likes to hear me talk so much, and they've asked me that sometimes I should take a break and see if anyone else wants to talk. Do you want to talk? She said, no, go ahead. That is the first time, maybe the only time, but that is definitely the first time that I remember someone saying, talk as long as you like. Later in life, I wondered how many family secrets I might have shared with that aunt that day. I don't know. I have no idea what we even talked about. But I remember her face saying, go ahead, talk it out. Now, what you may also know about me is I'm not always as good at listening. I've improved very much over the years, I promise. I've gotten better, but I'm still working on it. I have trouble being quiet enough, still enough, sometimes engaged enough, to really listen. I can hear. Oh, I hear very well, but I don't always listen. And God said in our scripture today, listen to my son, right? And you can't do that if you're talking. At least I have trouble listening while talking. Maybe some of you have perfected that. But God told Peter, James, and John, listen. I usually translate that at our house to say, close your mouth and open your ears. But I think what God is saying is also open up your heart when you're listening. Same idea, but a little bit bigger, isn't it? Today we're going to collect our commitment cards. For the last 5 weeks, we've been invited to think about our prayers and our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, our ways in which we wish to engage in this church as part of the United Methodist Church, but more importantly, as part of our devotion to God, our commitment to loving God and God's people. These baskets are up here with some cards already in them because some people were so excited about it, they returned them already, right? So they are in there. But we're gonna collect those in those baskets, and then we're gonna take those baskets and we're gonna lay them on the altar of God, and we're gonna ask God to bless them and to bless the notes on them and the scribbles on them and the commitments on them. We're gonna even ask God to bless the empty lines on them, because we know that those are just more opportunities. And then I would invite us to think about our notes, our attempts, our intentions today. As we put them on the altar of God, we're going to ask God to help us live those out as more than hope, but as pledges. And then I'm going to pray. Maybe I should do it right now so I don't forget. I'm going to pray that God will continue to give us opportunities this year that didn't fit on this piece of paper or haven't yet been thought of. Because these are great, great. Prayed over, worked on, right? Typed in, fit to one page. Yeah, these are great. But I believe the Holy Spirit continues to work in us and through us and around us, and sometimes new opportunities for us to commit to God come up throughout the year. And so I'm going to pray that not only do those come up, but that we can be still enough to hear them. And then hopefully we'll lay those on the altar too, either in our mind's eye or physically. As we make commitments today, one of the commitments that I think is on there, and I'll tell you, I stumbled over it. I told you I've been praying over this form, right? But I stumbled over that line at the bottom. Oh my goodness. Maybe you already checked it. But under witness, it says I'm going to share my faith with my family. Now you might think that's easy for me, huh? But it's not. I can do it with you in parts and in pieces, but to sit down with someone who knows the whole part of you. Oh, I wonder if my aunt would like to sit and listen to all of that again. Not that aunt, maybe a different one. Yeah. But under witness, it also says that we can offer a witness on how God is in our lives. We could do that right here in church on Sunday. Who wants to do that? Anybody ready? Okay, pray about it. There might be a chance, right? Right? Also, part of our witnessing is sharing our experiences of faith in church with others, making invitations. There's another sheet of paper on your table today. It is not ministry team approved, but I put it there. We didn't even look at it or talk about it, but this morning I just thought, I got to do this. I got to just leave it on your paper. You don't have to fill it out right now. You can if you want. But there's another piece of paper with some blanks, and I would invite you to consider filling it out sometime. It asks about your own faith, and you don't have to share it with anybody, but you can. I think we need to be confident in what and whom we believe in, where we put our trust and our hope. It helps me to try to write it down. Because if I can't even write it down, I probably can't say it, at least not in few enough words. But we need to know to whom we offer our prayers and our worship and our allegiance to. And then we need to learn to say it. Maybe the first time we do that in a mirror, right? Maybe the second through 24th time we still do it in the mirror, right? But maybe one time we get brave enough to turn to our partner or our friend or our family and we tell them what or whom we believe. And then maybe by like the 99th or 1300th time, we are ready to say it out loud in front of someone else. Maybe we even get ready to say it out loud out there. Yeah, maybe sometime, maybe by like the 99th time, it just incorporates into our sentences when we're out there. And it just slips out of our mouths because we're so ready to share our story. And on that day when that happens to you, when your faith just slips out of your mouth, on that day, you are a witness. Yeah, you are a witness. I'll tell you, it can happen anywhere. I've been witness to in a Van Gelder bus, at the beach, at camp, in a church. I was witness to once as a high schooler sitting on the floor of an unfinished basement of someone else's house. Right? Anywhere. Anywhere. Anywhere that you can share your story, you can hear someone else's. So will you do it? Will you think about it? Think about where you could share your story, or if you could know your story well enough that it could just slip out or in. I pray this day that as you consider all of these very tough questions, that you let the most easiest one make your heart say yes to God today. Not even to this church, not to me, not to each other, but first to God. Yes, God, I will love you and I will accept your love. May you have enough strength and perseverance to do so this day and always. Amen.